And if we quit now, it would have been a good enough time. But I'm going to take just a few more minutes and talk to you about being set free. Our country is the greatest place in the world to live. Everybody's trying to get here with all of its problems and all of the difficulties. It's still a wonderful place to live. We've celebrated independence this week from Britain a long time ago. I think God put something in us, a desire to be free. Thomas Jefferson wrote the Declaration of Independence and said, "We hold these truths to be self-evident or obvious, that all men are created equal, and they are endowed by their Creator with certain inalienable rights." And then he listed those: life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Those signers of the Declaration of Independence, I think, as an aside, I think they were influenced by something going on in New England at the time. We refer to it as the Great Awakening. In 1769, Jonathan Edwards at Northampton Church in Northampton, Mass., was leading a revival. There was preaching on every corner in that town, and people were coming from all over what was then the America. It wasn't the United States yet. And there was just an amazing move of God in that Great Awakening, 1769. I think the framers of our Constitution were impacted by that. And Jefferson, hence writing that he certainly didn't separate church and state. But he said, God has created us this way and has given us the desire for freedom and the desire for happiness. As they walked out of the hall, the 56 signers of the Constitution, one of them said, I wonder which one of us will be first to hang. Isn't that an interesting perspective? So they sensed that there was something worth dying for, to be free, to not be oppressed by a government, and to be able to pursue happiness. It did not guarantee happiness. We've kind of moved to where a lot of folks are entitled to happiness, and if they're not happy, then they're suing us or causing a ruckus. But these people said there's something worth dying for. And they were willing to do that. And as you know the story, a lot of them did. But whether it was at Saratoga or Camden Yards or Shiloh or Gettysburg or Normandy or Fallujah or Basra, people have been dying so that we could be free. Some of that freedom is poorly expressed and burning flags and all of the things that we fuss about. This doesn't mean because of the Constitution that you're going to be free. It means you have to pursue that freedom, and you're free to live well, or you're free to live miserably and broken down. You're free to be enslaved to debt or to be addicted to drugs, but you're free in some ways that people in other places are not. But no government can guarantee your freedom. No government can say you're going to be happy. Again, we've got a lot of people trying to get into the country, but we're not going to guarantee that coming across our borders is going to make you happy. But our Creator programmed us for freedom. He gave us a longing for it. St. Augustine, before he was St. Augustine, tried the world. He was born in a wealthy family, and they didn't have cocaine then, I guess, but they had beer and a lot of other stuff. And he lived a wild life of doing everything that you could do in the world. And in the Confessions, when he came to know the Lord, he wrote some of the more important words, I think, true for all of us. He said, "You have made us for thyself, and our hearts are restless until we find our rest in thee." And so God created us with a God-shaped vacuum inside that says the Lord needs to be there. And what our text says in John 8:36 is, if the Lord sets you free, you'll be free indeed. And he's talking to the Jews about that in this text. How does Jesus guarantee what the government cannot? How can we be free indeed from him? In the context, Jesus is arguing with some Jews who believed in Jesus like we believe in John Kerry, or we believe in Johnny Cash or whatever. They believed in Jesus, but they weren't following Jesus. His words weren't abiding in them, as he said. And so Jesus said, if you knew who I was and was doing my words, you'd be free. And they rose up at that and said, we've always been free. I don't know how they could say that. They were occupied by the Romans at that point and all waiting for some deliverance for that. How can they say they're free? They were in bondage and didn't even know it. And going back to their history, they came from Egypt in slavery there for hundreds of years. And then there was the Assyrians and the Babylonians. They just had completely missed what was going on there. They were in bondage and they didn't know it. And I think that's how a lot of people are with this spiritual slavery that Jesus is talking about here. He was talking about being a slave to sin. I was dealing with a little child, not one of my grandchildren, the other day, but 3 years old. He just lied and about something that he had done. I was watching his parents deal with him. I was there, and I thought, isn't it interesting that at three, there's something inside us that protects ourselves, doesn't tell the truth, doesn't want to look bad. It wasn't me. And they can have chocolate all over their face, you know, and say, it wasn't me. Deep down inside, David says, we were born in sin and chafing in iniquity. And I think we don't know we're slaves to sin. Paul said in Romans 3, and Jesus actually repeated it in John, that we're all guilty, that we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. And in fact, John said, if you've committed one sin, then you're guilty of all. You know, we want to compare ourselves and say we're not as bad as Attila the Hun or Jack the Ripper, but we're all sinners and we've missed the glory of God. We're in bondage and we don't know it. And this bondage to sin, one of the scriptures talks about sin is like a scorpion. There's a sting in the tail. It may look pretty on the front end, but there's a sting in the tail. And I've in the past had a campus ministry where we saw a lot of drug addiction. One of the saddest things in the world is to see a drug addict that's having to do drugs but not enjoying it anymore, when they're looking for a vein. And I remember saying, so your veins have collapsed. And they said, yeah, we're having to try to find a way to shoot drugs in our eyeball. Thinking, and this just doesn't sound like fun to me. Even in high school, I remember probably my senior year, and a bunch of my friends had gone to a party, and one of them was saying, oh, I feel awful this morning. I've got this horrible hangover, which was kind of a badge of courage or something, I don't know. And he's saying, I'm telling you, we had a party last night. I got so drunk, I passed out. I don't even know how I got home, and now I'm sick this morning, and I've been throwing up. Isn't sin great? And I'm trying to figure out, I'm missing a point here. I don't know what the deal is. It's the addictions in life that sin brings that causes us to be in bondage to the power of sin. And not just in bondage to the power of sin, but we're guilty. What Jesus came to do is set you free from the guilt of sin. where Sean can share with us what's been in the past, because it's in the past and he's got a clean slate. The freedom is that you don't have to sin anymore. It's even better than that. John says in a later letter, little children, sin not. Okay. But if you sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, whoever lives, to make intercession for us. So it's not just that he saved us and said, and you better do better. But he saved us and said, go and sin no more. But were you to sin, you have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, who ever lives to make intercession for you. In the context here, these Jews said they believed in God, but they weren't abiding by his words. They weren't living for the Lord. And he said, if you really believed, you'd follow my teachings. You'd be free indeed. Paul said in Acts 17, you've been set free to live in righteousness because you wholeheartedly obey the teachings which you have heard. Jesus is saying, if you'll follow me, if you'll listen to my words, if they really permeate your heart, you'll have a freedom that you just wouldn't know otherwise. I remember the bondage of sin. It seemed like you couldn't do any better. And I'm thankful for the power of God that keeps us. Well, as St. Augustine said it best, I think. He said, a saint is one who sins less and less, but talks about it more and more. And I think that's where we're all headed. We sin less and less. And we're free from guilt. We're free from the stain of sin. There's a continual cleansing by the blood of Jesus Christ that washes away our sins, because sin destroys us. Sin addicts us. We get where we sin, and the addiction to sin becomes more important than life itself. The joy of being set free so we know we can live in heaven with Christ. So this Independence Day, I want us to be set free. I thought Sean's testimony this morning was important to that because most of the people that will come to a chapel service are not where he was. If you come to a bed and breakfast for a weekend, you're not necessarily looking to go to church if you're not a Christian. I'm glad your wife got you here. But we have been set free by the Lord, free to know that we have eternal life in Christ Jesus, free over the power of sin, and free from the guilt that sin brings, and the freedom to believe that Jesus Christ loves us so much that he gave himself to die for us so we could have eternal life. And with communion, we celebrate that. This is a celebration of grace. What do I have to do to be saved? Believe. John 3:16 says it best. God so loved the world that he gave more than himself. He gave his only son, that whoever believes in him would not perish but have everlasting life. And he didn't send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. And so if Jesus has set you free, you are free indeed. I love America. I've been to a lot of countries, and there's places that are pretty. There are places where the people are nice, but I love America. And I thank God for the freedoms that have been hard fought to win that we have today. And I don't want to see our country go in the direction that sometimes I sense it's going, of oppressing rather than setting us free, of taking away some liberties. But what I long for more and more all of the time is a city whose builder and maker is God. A place where we are, as Jesus said here, I'll set you free indeed. Where there's no more tempter, there's no death, there's no dying, there's no sorrow, there's no guilt. I look forward to that paradise that God has prepared for us, where we have the freedom to become a new creature in Christ Jesus. old things will all be passed away and all will become new. So we celebrate Independence Day. I think it's appropriate that we celebrate the independence from sin, the independence from Satan's power, the independence from fear and guilt that overwhelms us if we're not careful. And we do that best, I think, with the communion that says Jesus did it all. He paid it all. What we have to do is, it's not our body broken, it's His. It's not our blood that's shed, it's His blood. And we have to say, I believe in the finished work of Calvary. And if you know that truth and Jesus set you free, you'll be free indeed. Take just a few moments in silent prayer to prepare your hearts for communion today. And thank the Lord for the freedom we have in our country, certainly. Pray for our leaders. But the greater, the far, far greater issue is freedom from sin and freedom from sin's penalty, because the wages of sin is death. Let's pray.